啊？在哪里？
在我家。
Where?
Yeah.
And the rest?
He gave a sign.
You gave a talk?
No, he gave a sign.
What?
He gave a sign.
Yeah, but you're still not. Huh? What did I say last time?
Yeah.
No? What?
I'm trying to put something on.
I had my reasons. I knew they were lingering down there, you know? Huh? Next time I go and come from the back. Huh? I mean, is it so difficult to wait, you know, to sit here, you know, and wait for 5 minutes until I come? We waited sometimes 50 minutes for Tanatan, sometimes 20 minutes. Huh? No, it's impossible. 5 minutes. Let's spend the time, you know, talking here and talking there and doing this and doing that. Huh? My upataks is fine. Huh? What is this? Huh? So who was the big talker who wants to give a talk? Ah, it's unbelievable. It's unbelievable.
I don't know.
I'm not in the mood. Yeah, you can wait a little bit. Maybe in half an hour I get into the mood. Don't you take dinner? I mean, look at the lay people, they're all there when I come. And the monks? Huh? I think there are something better. Yeah? Yeah, when we ordain as monks, you know, after a while, we forget why we ordain. Huh? Because we became monks, you know, because there was so much dukkha in our life. And then we become monks and suddenly there's no more dukkha, so we don't have any motivation, yeah, to practice, yeah? We look here and there, oh, this needs to be done, that needs to be done, yeah? But we don't look in our heart, you know, what needs to be done. The work of a monk, you know, is Dhyan Krom, yeah? It is walking meditation and sitting meditation. That is the real work of a monk. Or a practitioner who stays here in the monastery. Everything else is not important. Sometimes we have some work to do. But most of the time, you know, we just have the work of a monk, yeah? But we find everything, yeah, oh yeah, I can do this, you know, and then we kill our time with talking, looking at this, looking at that, yeah? Going around. Killing our time, yeah? As if we have so much time on our hands, yeah? Everybody who is a little bit old knows we have very little time left. And we should use, you know, all the time that we have, yeah? All the time, yeah? That we have, you know, for the practice, yeah? Preparing ourselves for our next life. Huh? There is a next life if you believe it or not, yeah? Nothing, you know, nothing changes into, everything changes into something else. Huh? You see it in nature, you know, it doesn't disappear. We just don't disappear from this world even when the body dies. Yeah? We just go into the next life. Yeah? And depending on our karma, our next life will be, you know, in this sphere or in that sphere or in that sphere. Yeah? Maybe it's going down, maybe it's going up, or maybe it's coming back, you know, in the same sphere. Yeah? As a human being. We don't know. But we can prepare ourselves so that at the time of death that we have, that you can make a decision where to go. Yeah, I mean, if you run blindly through Bern, yeah, you don't know where you go. Yeah, you probably follow just the main street, you know, that leads to destruction. Or just like Jesus said, you know, the masses of people going the broad path that leads to destruction. Yeah? In other words, to hell. Only a few going the stony path that leads to the heaven. And the Lord Buddha, you know, put up something more. You know, he said there's actually not only heaven, there's actually Nibbana, the end of the cycle of birth and death. And that's what we hopefully aspire for, yeah? Especially when we are hardcore practitioners or monks, yeah? That is our only goal, yeah? To find the way out of the hamster wheel. Huh? Not always running, yeah? not being able to put to put our work aside or to put our wishes aside and our greed and hate, yeah? And to work for opening the door to the deathless. Huh? That's what it's called, deathless. Yeah? There's no more death. Huh? Would be nice, yeah? Because if we are born as a human being, we have to die. Yeah? And the only cause of death is birth. There's no other cause. If we are not born, we don't die. Yeah? Don't believe all the scientists and doctors who tell you otherwise. Oh, it's this cause or that cause or that cause. No, the only cause for our death is birth. If we are not born, we will not die. Yeah? Isn't that simple? Yeah? 100% true, yeah? So we have to find it, yeah? But if we die, you know, we are born again, yeah? Maybe not as a human being, maybe as an animal, maybe as a ghost, maybe as a hungry ghost, maybe in the hell realm, or maybe as a deva, yeah? Depending on our karma. Wherever we go, you know, that's, you know, it depends on our karma that we have created. If we have created a lot of good karma, we might go up to the heaven. If we have created a lot of bad karma, then we go to hell. I mean, the Lord Buddha said it very clearly, you know, I mean, when the Venerable Ananda asked the Lord Buddha, how many people are going to hell? How many people are going to heaven? And then he said, you know, do you see that bull over there? How many horns does he have? And these are the two people, you know, two, yeah? These are the two people who go to heaven or to go to Nibbana. And, yeah, how many hairs does he have on his fur? These are the people who go to hell. I mean, it's not only masses and a few, you know, it is two and millions, yeah? So, I mean, it is pretty precise in our description. But we, you know, when we come here to the monastery and listen to the Dhamma, we belong to a group that is called normally the group of Naya. Yeah? The ones who, you know, sometimes swing to this side and sometimes swing to that side. We are the ones who have a choice. 70% of the human race doesn't even have a choice. They just go down. 30%, you know, have a choice. And that's us, you know, who are interested in spirituality or interested in religion. Because the moment we become interested in something, you know, that there must be some other meaning to life than just you know, just to work and die. So, once we become interested in religion, we tend to, you know, uphold the precepts of the religion. In Christianity, it is four precepts, you know, in Buddhism, it is five precepts. I put the Ten Commandments into four precepts because they don't have alcohol and drugs, you know, as a precept in the Ten Commandments. But everything else is in, within the four precepts. So, and what did the Lord Buddha say about the five precepts? If we keep them, then we can come back as a human being. Or we can even go, if you have enough good karma, then we even can go to the Deva realm. But remember, you know, I mean, once you're in the Deva realm, once you're a goddess, you know, or just an angel or whatever, I mean, there's a limited time, amount of time that you spend there. Maybe it is 100,000 years, maybe it is 200,000 years, and then, where do we go? Going back. Falling back. The fallen angel. Huh? Most of us, you know, then just go to hell, you know, to get rid of their bad karma that they have done before. Just like Lungda Mahaboy, you know, my venerable teaching master, you know, said, yeah. I mean, he described, you know, some of his lives, you know, being up in this kind of heaven, you know, and then going down to this kind of hell, and then going back up, you know, to that kind of heaven, and then going back, you know, to this kind of hell before he was reborn as a human being. Because within one life, he gathers so much karma that sends us to hell and sends us to heaven for such a long time, yeah, that we don't have, you know, the chance of coming back as a human being. So, because of us, you know, because every one of us, including the person who sits here, you know, and gives the talk, yeah, we have done a lot of bad karma, and we have done a lot of good karma. So, in order, you know, to choose our way and not to run blindly, you know, in the strongest stream of our karma, I mean, we need to develop this awareness or to the sati, you know, that in the moment of death, you know, we can be aware and choose the path to go. It is important, you know, in the case of pain, and notice, you know, how... Yeah, fang me? In the case of death, yeah, it is the most painful, yeah, just like birth, you know, it is very painful. In the moment of death, where the body, you know, is ripped apart, and if you have gone through death, yeah, then you know, yeah, the first thing the breath stops, yeah, and once the breath stops, you know, it starts to rip apart all the elements of the body that kept the body together, and that is the most painful moment. And if we have enough sati in this moment, we can decide where to go. So if we have trained enough, and that is the objective, if we have trained enough in our life, you know, to keep sati, even when there is excruciating pain, then at the moment of death, we don't need to be afraid of anything. Because we can choose, yeah? We know our main pain is pain, you know, but it is not us. The citta doesn't, yeah? The citta is not pain, yeah? It's a body that is, yeah? The body is painful, you know, and the ripping apart of the body is very painful. But if you have sati, you know, we can choose our path. We can choose, at the moment, yeah, because we can see then a little bit into the future. At the moment, it's a very good time to develop Dhamma. Yeah. There are a lot of good teachers at the moment down in the world, you know, so let's become a human being again, yeah, and then we can choose it. Yeah. But all we see now, it's a time of turmoil, you know, let's better go to the heaven, you know, rest there for a while and then come back to the human. That is the choice that we have. Yeah? But if you are not aware of the choices that we have, we just go, you know, the biggest karma. Yeah? The biggest karma might lead us to heaven, but it might lead us to hell. We don't know yet. Yeah? Because it's not only the karma from this life, it is also the karma that comes from the other lives. Like I explained, you know, in some of the things, yeah. When we go on a trip, yeah, we put something in our suitcase, not all the things that we have in our house. We couldn't carry it. All the cats and the dogs and the books and the cloth. Yeah, we put only certain things. Then we go on the trip. You know, when we come back from the trip, we have even more things. Yeah, and then we put it back to the house. Yeah, and that is karma. Yeah, we go as a trip. You know, we can call it, you know, the human life as a trip. You know, in the human life, we collect a lot of things. We collect a lot of good things, and we collect a lot of rubbish. So when we come back to our house, yeah, I mean, there's all these other things waiting for us, you know, to get rid of or, you know, to enjoy. Plus the things that we acquired, you know, in this life. And this will determine our next destination. Unless we have opened the gate to the deathless. And opening the gate to the deathless, what is with my speech today? I can't formulate. Something is hindering me. opening the gate to the deathless is, you know, starts with Sotapanna stream entry, you know, and then goes to Sakadagami once returner, and then goes to Anagami non-returner, and entering the deathless, you know, is the Arahant. So opening the gate to the deathless is, you know, entering the stream to the deathless. And that is, you know, that should be at least the minimum of our objective when we go the spiritual life. It should be this. Yeah? Or do you want to be born and die and born and die and born and die again and again and again without, you know, without stopping? Yeah? Life must be so much fun. Yeah? According to some people, it seems to be, you know, okay, yeah, let them enjoy, you know. I have no problems with that. I have no qualms about that. If they think there is no dukkha in their life, you know, I mean, fine, yeah. But we have seen the dukkha, yeah. We have seen the dukkha of growing up. We have seen the dukkha of going to school. We have seen the dukkha of learning to walk, learning to talk, yeah. We have seen the dukkha of it, yeah. And if you come back as a human being, we have to go through the same kind of dukkha. Yeah? It is not satisfactory. And when we are young, when we are 8 or 9 years old, we can't wait to be 20. Yeah? We don't want to spend, you know, between 8 and 9 years, you know, to 20. We can't wait, you know, until we become 20 or 18. Yeah? Something like that. Yeah? Most of you can remember that. Yeah? So, I mean, we're just waiting and trying, you know, getting rid of school, you know, and doing, you know, so that we don't fail and so on. Yeah. So there's a lot of dukkha. There was a lot of dukkha, but we don't want to remember it. Now that we are 50 or 60 years old, when we try to remember our youth, yeah, we don't try to remember the youth when we were 5 or 6 or 7 years old. Or 10 years old, or 14 years old, we remember only the nice times, about 20, you know, when we are, yeah, fully grown up, you know, and fully energetic, yeah, that's the time when we remember. We don't want to remember going to school, yeah? We don't want to remember learning to walk or learning to talk, huh? I don't think anybody wants to remember this, but just be prepared, yeah? The next life you come back as a human being, you go through the same process. Yeah? And then you can use this body for 35 years, and then it starts slowly to fall apart, just like an old car. Yeah? We know when the car is new, you know, I mean, yeah, you press on the accelerator and it accelerates. Yeah? When it is old, you press on the accelerator and nothing happens. Yeah? That's with an old body, yeah? We try to run, you know, and then just like a young person, you know, we fall. Yeah? Don't even try to run, you know, just walking, you know, we often fall. Yeah? And because this body is becoming frailer and frailer and frailer, more frail and more frail, yeah? And that's the nature of this body. In other realms, it does, you know, we don't have a body in this kind of form. We have a fine material body. Yeah? The devas have a fine material body. They just appear and disappear. As a ghost, you know, you just appear and disappear. The two realms, you know, where we are born and where we have to train this material body is the animal realm and the human realm. And you see the small puppies, yeah? How they train, how they first, you know, cannot even walk, you know. We see it, yeah? Be it cats, you know, or be it dogs, you know, we see it, yeah? Or we see it with our own children. When they first come out of the womb, you know, I mean, they just lie flat on their back, you know, and then start to move the fingers or start to move the hand and start to move the arms and the legs until, you know, until they have programmed this body, until they have learned, you know, how to use this body. And that's it. Yeah? The body is a tool. It is not something, yeah? It is a nice tool. Yeah? But it is, you know, it is not long-lasting. It's not a long-lasting tool. We like this tool, yeah, and that's why we go from life after life after life. We want to have a new life, you know. In the next life we want to be this or we want to do that, yeah. And that's it. That's our desire keeps us running around, not realizing that this kind of life, you know, is always the same. It's always the same. Getting up, doing something, yeah, eating something, doing something, eating something, yeah? And then going to sleep. Getting up, doing something, eating something, doing something, eating something, going to sleep. Every day, from the first day we are born to the last day that we die. How boring is that? But we never think about it in this way because we call this doing something, you know, sometimes you call it work, sometimes you call it, you know, fun, sometimes you call it leisure, sometimes you call it playing around, and so on. And that's why we never get to the point to see actually the frustration or the boredom of this kind of life. Getting up, yeah, doing something, eating something, doing something, eating something, and going to sleep. Then waking up again, yeah, doing something, eating something, doing. Just talking about this is. But we never think in this way, yeah? So that's why I repeat it and repeat it and repeat it, so that it slowly sinks into our heart. Yeah? No matter what we do, you know, no matter if we are an artist, no matter if we are an engineer, no matter if we are a politician, it's the same thing. Every day, you know, every person, even if it is the emperor of China, you know, he has to get up, you know, eat something and do something, eat something, do something and sleep. And he has the same kind of body, a frail body, you know, that gets sick, that gets old. There's no person that doesn't get old, yeah? And sooner or later he will have to die. Yeah, that's human life. But the human life has one advantage, and the Lord Buddha pointed it out. In the human life, you can have, you know, at least 50% of sukha, that means happy feelings or comfortable feelings, and 50% of dukkha. That is the most in the human life that we can get. So we can see both sukha and dukkha. If a person, and you know, everybody of us knows people, you know, who have so much dukkha, who can't think about anything else, how to get rid of their dukkha, yeah? So they don't think about anything else. Yeah? They need some money or they need some food, you know, and all their life is turned around by this eye. They have so much dukkha, they can't even think about something else. And that's the same thing for people, you know, who have everything what they needed. They don't look for the spiritual path. Yeah? Because everything is fine, yeah? Whatever they wish, you know, it comes true, you know, whatever they want, you know, they become it, yeah? And they have very little dukkha in their life. And if they have very little dukkha in their life, they don't want to find the way out. That is, for instance, for most of the devas, that is true. I mean, they have so much sukha, they have so much happiness in their life. I mean, why should I look for a way out? Yeah? We only look out for a way, and that's why the Lord Buddha said, you know, the human life is a jumping pot. It is the jumping pot where we can jump out, yeah, or where we can open the gate to the deathless. So remember this very well, you know, human life is precious, yeah? And if you don't use it, you know, at least, you know, to find the door. Even if we can't open it in this life to find the door, you know, that leads us to the deathless, then it is a waste of our human birth. Understood that? Yeah? So at least try to find it out. Yeah. Find the door is, you know, I mean, being more and more interested in spirituality and being more and more interested in learning, you know, that there is a door open, but we have not actually gone to the gate, yeah, to be able to open it, yeah. And you notice it, you know, being able to open it, you have to do sila, samadhi, panya, yeah. Sila, you know, is keeping the five precepts. Samadhi is being the ability to put the mind to a halt, you know, or put it into calm. And then panya, the development of wisdom, yeah. That is then opening the gate, yeah. But first of all, we have to hear about, you know, that there is a gate, yeah. And that is for the people who being interested in Buddhism, they start, you know, to be interested in Buddhism. It is not the first life, you know, we hear about Buddhism. It's not the first life that we hear about, you know, that there is a gate. I mean, it takes us hundreds of lives, you know, to hear about Buddhism, to understand it and to slowly seep it in, yeah? Until we actually, you know, okay, now it's the time, you know, to actually walk towards this gate, yeah? And then it takes, you know, hundreds of lives, you know, to walk towards this gate until we can open it, yeah? I mean, an arahant isn't born in one life, yeah? Or a sotapanna isn't born in one life. How many lives he has trained, how many Buddhas he has seen, or maybe he has seen or not seen, yeah? I mean, what did the Lord Buddha, the Lord Buddha himself said, you know, I mean, he met, you know, about 24 Buddhas, yeah? In his lifetime until he became a Buddha, yeah? So, I mean, it takes a long, long time. So it is, you know, at the moment, you know, we are interested in Buddhism and we are actually, you know, on the path, you know, that opens the gate. And now it depends on us, you know, how much effort we put into the practice, how fast we get to the gate. Yeah? Some of us, enough, 4 hours is enough, okay, let's rest. Let's go to sleep. And tomorrow I do another 4 hours, yeah, okay, it's enough, yeah. Another, you know, and the others, you know, I mean, 18 hours until they really can't keep their concentration anymore, and they just sleep, you know, the moment they wake up, you know, again, you know, and these are the people who run towards the gate. The ones who say, okay, I've done enough, I'm happy already, you know, let's do it tomorrow, yeah. So these are the people, you know, who walk like snails, yeah? Yeah? And they get, you know, of course, you know, when you walk very slowly, you get distracted, you know, you sometimes lose your direction, yeah? But people who walk fast, you know, I mean, they normally don't lose that direction. They know, exactly, I need to go in this way, yeah? And then they go, yeah? And they don't think about anything else, you know, than going out. Understood? So it takes many lives, yeah. I mean, what did Lumpuman say? You know, he had 90 eons, and one eon is one uncountable time period, yeah. 90 eons of training. And then he saw, you know, in order to become a Buddha, it takes another 90 eons, and he said, no, it's too much to come. Let's finish it in this life, yeah. But because he had 90 eons already, you know, he was already a half a Buddha, yeah. Or had spent half of his, Buddha developing times, yeah. You know, so, and then he can, yeah. But think about, you know, to become an arahant, you know, probably takes you 30 eons or 40 eons, you know, of engagement, yeah. So, I mean, it's a long time. That's the same thing, you know, I mean, people, you know, in the West, they read, you know, they read about Buddha and his enlightened disciples, and, you know, the Lord Buddha uttered one sentence, you know, and they become enlightened, yeah. They never ask how many lives did they train before, just to be reminded of something that they haven't realized in their last life, and now they hear it very clearly, and then that's when the moment, you know, final realization takes place. But they have worked, you know, for eons, you know, in this training and, you know, not training, Now, how is it? You know, I mean, we know, yeah? I mean, we work hard, you know, in our daily life, we work hard and then we want to have a weekend, yeah? Let's rest for a while, you know? Or we want to have holidays, you know, and then, you know, for 3 or 4 weeks, you rest for a life. So we become monks in one life, and then next life we say, no, no, that is so tough for me, you know, let's enjoy the next life, you know, as a human being, just, you know, enjoy the pleasures of the human life, yeah? And then after 3 or 4 human lives, you know, where we try to enjoy the pleasure, we see actually there's not so much pleasure, you know. Let's become back as a monk, and then we become a monk again, and then we become a human lay person again. And how often did we do that before, you know, before here? Yeah, we don't know. And it doesn't really matter, yeah. We just pick our goal, you know, and run towards it as much as we can with all our strength, yeah, and hope that we come very close to the gate, yeah, or maybe even open the gate, yeah. So that in the next life we don't have to look for the gate anymore, you know, we just, yeah, run towards it. Okay.